Sermon time. Here we go. So once again, who knows what book we're in? Oh, okay. Okay, we're still in Daniel. All the heart-strong people are like, Hosea, yeah, we get it, you're good students. Okay, we're still in Daniel this week because we haven't reached a very important part of Daniel. So we're still in Daniel. This book is an incredible portrait of faith, of friendship, and what it looks like to have real depth of character. The stories that come through this book of Daniel, they challenge us about what it means to be in community and also what it might look to step out on your own when God is asking you to. A few things I want you to consider as we work through the passages today. At Life Center, we believe deeply about the importance of community. God has created us to need each other. Your faith should not be an individual journey without people surrounding you to wrestle through with you. Spiritual gifts, they don't make a whole lot of sense outside of ministering to people. You can't learn to love deeply without people to love. John Mark Comer has this cool quote in his Practicing the Way course, and he says this, and it's been like replaying in my mind, and it speaks so deeply to community. May you be loved into loving people. You can't do that by yourself. The temptation for all of us, though, is to do it alone. The temptation is to keep it secret, keep it safe, not live in a way that's vulnerable, not live in a way that requires community. The temptation for all of us is to do it alone. So there's a statement that I'm going to make, and I want you to like pin it. You know how you can pin something in a conversation or like a chat? I don't know, whatever. Pin this, okay? On your own and alone are two very different things, okay? On your own and alone are two very different things. Jesus, in John 14, he promised that we would know the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit would dwell within us. In fact, there are over 100 verses in the Bible talking about how the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Here is one of them. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives in you. Romans 8:11. Alone means that it is all on you. It means that everything relies on you, on your own self-sufficiency, on your self-reliance. Doing something alone means that, like, yeah, it all does fall on me to succeed, to accomplish, to achieve. That's what it looks like to be alone. But remember our pinned thought. On your own and alone are two very different things. On your own, it means that others, maybe people from the body of Christ, aren't present, or maybe they can't do what it is that you've been asked to do. Let's be super clear here. Even when you're on your own, so even when you're not in community physically with Christ and in the presence of the Holy Spirit, you are never alone. Daniel's story, Old Testament, is before the work of the cross, before the sending of the Spirit, but it foreshadows for us that even though Daniel was on his own, he wasn't alone. Remember what we say all the time. Where does the Old Testament point us? Jesus. The answer is always Jesus. You got it. You got it. Okay, let's read from Daniel 6. Daniel distinguished himself above the administrators and satraps because he had an extraordinary spirit. So the king planned to set him over the whole realm. The administrators and satraps, therefore, kept trying to find a charge against Daniel regarding the kingdom. But they could find no charge or corruption, for he was trustworthy, and no negligence or corruption was found in him. That's Daniel 6:2-4. So Daniel has been raised up into positions of power. He's found favor with the king. You might find yourselves in positions of power. God might have opened some really incredible doors for you. You might be placed in systems like Daniel, where you can rely on others, where you have a strong team. But you might be placed in positions where you are called to stand on your own. You might have coworkers. If you're in university, you might have like study buddies. You might have tutors, mentors, all of that. But eventually, as many of us know, the more that life goes on, sometimes we're asked to stand on our own. Eventually, a surgeon has to make a cut on their own, nobody holding their hand. Eventually, you might have to defend your own dissertation. Doctor. There's a few doctors in the room who are, amen. You might have to win that race on your own. You might have to write that exam. You might have to preach that sermon. Just, guys, it's fine. So what gets you there in those moments? What gets us there to the point where we can stand on our own? What gets us to that? For Daniel, it was his extraordinary spirit, his integrity and his character. He stood firm in his principles, even when innocent and wrongfully accused. He had integrity. Now, integrity, it is a threat to those who don't wish to be held to a higher standard. Right? Integrity, having integrity can be threatening to people. It can convict others without you needing to say a word. In following Jesus, know this, that developing Christ-like character is always more important than your spiritual gifts, your acquired skills, your talents, or your life experiences. This is cool. Life Center's website actually has this as one of our posted values. And if you don't know the values, you should probably look them up because you go here. But one of them is this: character first. Character comes before gifting. Our character isn't value neutral. How we live, love, and lead matters. Gifting is good. Purpose has its place. But Christ-like character always stands above. Meaning that if there's a gap in your character, there's gaps in mine for sure, for sure. If there's gaps in your character, it just means this. It doesn't mean perfection. It means this, that when a gap is revealed in your character, as it will be, because that's just life and life with Jesus, it means that we don't lower the bar. Instead, we hold the standard. And in Christ, even if it takes years, decades, we grow up in Jesus. Isn't that cool? To grow up in Jesus. Oh. And it can take years. I think it does, just speaking from my experience. It takes years to grow up in Jesus. We're on a journey, the same as Daniel and the same as his friends. Daniel is living his life to honor Yahweh. In doing so with integrity, it distinguishes him. It sets him apart from others, and it gets the king's attention. He impresses King Darius. Today we're in Daniel 6, but the preceding chapters, they include stories about Daniel's God-given gift of dream interpretation. This is good. It's a gift from God, but it is his character that creates the potential for what we all know is to come. Maybe not all, but some. Maybe some of you will be like, whoa, I never knew this story, which is super cool if this is your first time hearing this story. But we are finally there today in the lion's den. Hallelujah. Yeah. Growing in Christ-like character can bring conviction to others. Let's see what happens here. So Daniel has been raised up into a position of power. He has found favor again and again. Now, although the king respects him, Daniel's about to be put in almost an impossible situation. The king respects him, shows him favor. However, Daniel's, let's say, coworkers, envious administrators and satraps, provincial governors, they play into the king's pride. They play into his self-grandiose nature. They want to establish an ordinance, an edict from the king. And the king puts Daniel and even himself in a really tricky situation. Let's read what happens. Daniel 6, 7 to 9. Anyone who petitions any god or man except you, the king, will be thrown into the lion's den. So this edict basically states that anyone who worships another god, who speaks the name of anyone except for the king, King Darius, will be thrown into the lion's den. Therefore, your majesty, establish the edict and sign the document so that, as a law of Medes and the Persians, it is irrevocable and cannot be changed. So King Darius, his pride got the better of him. He thought, yeah, that sounds good. No one can worship anyone except me. He signs the written edict. Now let's look at Daniel's history. Daniel has learned to honor God with his diet. Remember, it all started with faithfulness at lunch. He's learned who Yahweh is and that he is greater than anyone else. Daniel has also learned that titles will come and go, but character is for a lifetime. So what does it look like when someone who has distinguished themselves and whose character, whose spirit is extraordinary, what do they do in moments like this? When it's all falling apart, when it seems impossible. An extraordinary spirit is marked by understanding of the power of personal prayer. He prays. When Daniel learned that the document had been signed, he went into his house. The windows in its upstairs room opened towards Jerusalem, and three times a day, he got down on his knees, he prayed, he gave thanks to God just as he had done before. He did the exact same thing that he had always done. Daniel has grown his routine, his actions, his confidence to stay the same, to lean on the same God that he has always leaned on, regardless of what type of law is in place. Regardless of what may come, Daniel does this. Daniel knows this. You can't cram for tests of character. You can't suddenly have a routine that took years to build. So Daniel, at this point, he's on his own. He's getting down on his knees. He's praying to Yahweh. He's on his own. But in prayer, he is not alone. In following Jesus, there are battles that all of us will have to fight on our own, but we will never be alone. So, things progress. We know that this edict has been put into place where anyone who worships anyone except the king will be thrown into the lion's den. Daniel makes a choice. And so Daniel is caught. Now the king has put himself in a bit of a pickle here because the king really cares for Daniel. And the king is basically responsible for putting Daniel in this position of power to start with. The king doesn't want to appear weak. He has to battle through his own, I can't change what I've put into place, but I also don't want this person to be eaten by lions. He's distraught over this situation with Daniel. He is so distraught that when Daniel is put into the lion's den, the king spends a sleepless night fasting and hoping that the God that Daniel serves would rescue him. Now, if you know what happens in this story, which maybe you do, maybe you don't, spoiler alert, it's going to be okay. There's no tension for us necessarily if we've read the story before. Daniel didn't have that privilege of like reading the story before it happened. He didn't know what would happen by taking a stand. In the same way that you and I don't necessarily know how taking a stand or letting our character lead will turn out. We don't know. If we knew the outcome, it wouldn't be a test of character, right? Listen to how Daniel describes his night in the lion's den. He's on his own, but not alone. Listen closely to what Daniel says. This is so cool. Okay, Daniel 6, 19 to 22. At the first light of dawn, the king got up. So the king is just stressed, like he's frazzled. The king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he reached the den, he cried out in anguish to Daniel. "Daniel, servant of the living God," the king said, "has your God, whom you continually serve, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Then Daniel spoke with the king. "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. And they haven't harmed me, for I was found innocent before him. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths." Unbelievable. Like, so, I have shivers. It's fine. Daniel spoke to the king. I'm reading it again. "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths. They haven't harmed me, for I was found innocent before him and also before you, your majesty. I have not done harm." Daniel means God is my judge. Daniel's character is rooted in that there is no king greater than Yahweh. His trust, like the trust of his friends, is in God as judge, not man. Not King Darius, not any who came before, but God. In spite of all that he faces, his extraordinary spirit remains rooted in who God says he is. Well, the battle that Daniel is called to face, and that is a crazy, crazy battle. He's called to face it on his own. In the lion's den, what does God do? He ensures that he's not alone. Now, as much as the world has changed then, many of us don't have a legitimate fear of being thrown in a lion's den. I can say that that's not. There's nothing in me that thinks that will be real for my life. But humanity remains a little bit the same. There's always going to be on our own challenges. There's a reason that we gather in community and strengthen each other. There's a reason why it matters to pray alongside others. There's a reason why it matters to get to know other people in your church. Because it builds the muscles. It helps you to develop your character. It helps you to develop spiritual strength as you learn more about God together, as you struggle together, as you wrestle, as you are convicted together. But there will be on your own challenges in following Jesus. Anchored in the finished work of the cross, through the person of the Holy Spirit who dwells within you, even if you are on your own, it does not mean that you are alone. God is with you. If you are standing strong, God is with you. If you're not standing strong, if you fall short, if you're listening today and you're like, "Oh, I could never, ever, ever have that kind of extraordinary spirit like what Daniel had." If you feel like you're falling short, repent and trust in his grace, because God is with you. You are not alone. We are all on a journey together of developing our character. We're working on it collectively and individually. The reason that Daniel could get down on his knees knowing probably for certain that it could mean death, is because he had built it into his life that there was no other way. There was no other option in his heart, in his integrity, in his character. He knew, this is what I do and this is where I will stand. Your character and your integrity can convict others, the way we see with King Darius. He spent a sleepless night stressing beyond belief about losing someone. And what a witness that must have been to see Daniel say, "My God sent an angel and shut the lion's mouth." That's incredible. One day, all of us, every human on our own, we get to stand before God. And on that day, there's just what's between us and God. But even today, you may feel like you are on your own, but you are not alone. So as we close today, we get to take communion together. If you don't have an emblem, just wave your hand. Our incredible connections team will pass one out for you. So as we gather around the communion table, there's a few things I want to think about. First, let's read from 1 Corinthians 11. "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup." Now, I love communion because it sets us up for self-examination. It sets us up for moments to just go deep with God and let him do whatever he needs to do. So let's take a moment as we consider Daniel's story, as we consider Daniel being called to step out on his own and being able to do so. Do you have spaces like that in your life? Do you have spaces where you might feel alone that you need to welcome God into? Because you're not alone. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. So let's take a moment. I'm going to pray, and then we'll let God work. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your work on the cross. Lord, thank you that we can look into Scripture, God, and we can read the same story 500 times, and still it can feel new and incredible. God, you are constantly revealing things to us about your character. Lord, I pray that all of us in this room, God, if there's things in our character, God, if there's things that we are dealing with that are, you know, questions of integrity, Lord, speak to us. God, you have good plans for us. And so, Lord, if there's things in our lives that we are holding on to, if there's places where we really, really feel like we have to be completely self-reliant, Lord, sneak into those places right now. Soften our hearts, God, that as we endeavor to build our character, to become more like you, God, as we look at biblical heroes with all their flaws, all their mess, all the things, God, may we see ourselves in them. That as you grew them and as you worked in them, God, you are doing the same in us. So Lord, convict what needs to be convicted in our lives right in this moment, God. If there's sin, God, help us to just repent. God, because you already know, it's not a secret to you. You know our hearts, you know our souls. So Lord, just work. Lord, amen. Amen. "For I received the Lord what I also passed on to you. the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So let's take the bread together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns." Let's partake of the cup together. So before I pass it back to Tunde, would you let me pray for you today? God, where there is just an incredible feeling of insecurity, would you break that? God, there are people in this room, Lord, who know they've been called to step out, who know that they can handle stepping out on their own, God, and yet they are being told lies. Would you break that in Jesus' name? Lord, may we all know that although we each have unique roads to walk, God, unique things to overcome, unique challenges, God, unique giftings. And yeah, sometimes it does mean standing by yourself. God, we are never alone. Holy Spirit, would you minister to people who are feeling alone right now? We speak against isolation. When the temptation is to hold everything so tight, when the temptation is to cling and to keep things inside, bottled up, Lord, help us to release it to you. God, help us to release our burdens to you and know that we are never alone. God, I pray for just a depth of character and an extraordinary spirit to live within us. God, that as we build this day by day, as we put habits, routines, things into place, God, that honor you and that help us to look just a little bit more like you, God, as we do this, God, would you give us strength? Because it's only in your strength that we can. And so, Lord, I pray a blessing over everyone in this room. Lord, would you protect them as they go this week, God? Would you call them into new positions, God? Would you give favor? And would you open doors, Lord, for those that need to be in places where you have positioned them. God, we love you so much. You are so beautiful and you are so kind to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.